We said last week, maybe it was the week before, that Romans chapter 15 is, of course, the book of Romans. And we started some weeks ago preaching verse by verse, and we'll go back to chapter 1 and get verse number 18 dealing with the wrath of God sometime. But as we began this study, and we said that Paul is writing this letter to the church at Rome, which Paul has never been to. Paul did not know these people, but he said over in chapter 1, he said, I thank God that your faith has been heard of throughout the whole world. This was a church that was founded, established, and well-grounded, and was evidently thriving because their faith had been heard of. Now, this is, of course, a day before Facebook and Twitter and all of this stuff. And so they were heard of by word of mouth. People, I believe this church in Rome was sending forth missionaries, sending forth making disciples, as Jesus said over in the Great Commission, Matthew chapter 28, to go into all nations and preach the gospel, teaching them and discipling them and sending them out. And this church, I believe, is that type of church. And Paul is just wanting to encourage them and to be with them. In fact, as we get into chapter 15, we notice that Paul is going to be asking their help to go on to other areas. And we'll look at that possibly next week. Today I want to speak to you on this thought, the central theme and nature of the gospel. Now when we think about it, the book of Romans is a gospel book. The gospel theme is captured in the very beginning of the book of Romans in chapter 1, verse 16 and 17, where the Apostle Paul said, For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. And he says in verse number 17, For therein, the gospel, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed, from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. In this chapter, chapter 15, Paul mentions the gospel three times, calling it, in verse number 16, the gospel of God. In verse number 19, he said it's the gospel of Christ. And then simply, the gospel in verse number 20. Paul knew the power of salvation was not in him or any other man. It is not in any particular church or denomination. It is in the gospel. Paul said that it was the power of salvation. The power of salvation is in the gospel, when it is made real in the lives of sinners by the Spirit of God. Now, whenever a person hears the gospel, it may be the first time they've ever heard anything like this. And it may not make no sense to the natural man, but when the Spirit of God moves upon that individual, taking the Word of God and putting it in the heart of an individual, and there is faith, it becomes real, and therefore it brings about salvation. Now, I don't know. The Bible talks about how the Spirit of God is like a wind, and we hear the sound of it thereof, but we don't know whence it cometh or where it goeth. And I don't know what the Spirit of God is doing in the hearts of lives of individuals. Sometimes I've come to the pulpit and I think I've got a message sent from God, and it's almost like it falls on deaf ears. I mean, it's kind of like it's you're preaching in a 55-gallon barrel, and it just bounces back at you. But I've also stepped in the pulpit and thinking I was ill-prepared or not didn't have exactly, and God moved, and the Spirit of God was there, and lo and behold, somebody would trust Christ as their personal Savior. It is not in us. And Paul knew that the power of salvation was not in him or anything that man can do. The power of salvation is in the gospel when the Holy Spirit makes it real in the lives of sinners by the Spirit of God. Look with me at verse number 16. Verse number 16, the Apostle Paul says, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. Now, if you're here today and you are not of the Jewish heritage, raise your hand. All right. You know what? We're all Gentiles. Praise God. Amen. We got God loved this world, loved us to send us. First of all, the Apostle Paul came as a minister, and he says it here in verse 16, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up, the presenting of the Gentiles, the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being, notice this, sanctified by the Holy Ghost, being made holy. That is what happens when we receive the gospel, when we believe the gospel, we receive power to become the sons of God. By the Holy Ghost, not just being hearers. I mean, the gospel that falls, I mean, it goes out there and many people hear, but it's when the Spirit of God moves in the heart of that individual and they believe in that. Verse number 19, Paul said, through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God. We have tried our best in the day and age that we live is to take the power of the Holy Spirit out of it. We have got it programized. We've got it down pat. We know what we're doing. And we forget that it takes the power of God to have any success in ministry. Whether it's teaching a Sunday school class, or whether it's being a school teacher in a Christian day school, or being a missionary on a foreign field, or being a pastor, or being a housewife or a mother in that home. It takes the Spirit of God to enable us to teach and to instruct our children. We need to ask ourselves this morning the question, what is the gospel? What is the gospel? Mark Twain once said, speaking about the gospel and the church, Mark Twain said this. He said, the church is good people standing in front of good people telling them how to be good. That was his definition of the gospel. That was his definition, his thought of the church. Good people standing in front of good people, telling them, good people, how to be good. Unfortunately, I fear that too many people, even in our churches today, even in some of our fundamental churches, have the same definition or one like Mark Twain. They have no concept of what the gospel really is. Billy Graham, I've seen a piece either on the internet or, yeah, it was in the internet. Billy Graham and his son Franklin. Billy Graham is 96 years old. I grew up in the Billy Graham era. Whenever he will go down, I don't agree with everything that Billy Graham did, Brother Graham. And he is our brother in Christ. I don't agree with everything, but he'll go down in history as one of the greatest evangelists that spoke to millions and millions of people with the gospel. And it does my heart good when I go to place and I have people give their testimony how they come to know Christ, maybe in a crusade or maybe watching it on television. But I remember those days. They would interrupt the ABC, the NBC, the CBS regular broadcasting to broadcast a Billy Graham crusade. And there would be, remember those days when, what was that big singer that was a big voice? George Beverly Shea would get up and sing The Love of God or How Great Thou Art. And I remember those days, the simple gospel being preached. And Billy Graham said this, and it upset many people. It upset people that he would say something like this. He said, on any given Sunday, 50% of those attending church were lost because they had not believed the gospel. 1972, I think Billy Graham said that. And it upset the known church world. How dare he say that 50% of those attending church were lost? Oh, they were religious, but they had no salvation because they had not believed the gospel. The Apostle Paul makes very clear, Paul was about preaching the gospel. Paul said over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3 and 4, Paul said, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture." That's very important. Listen, any gospel, any message that you hear that is not taken from the Word of God, run. Run. Get away from it. Stay away from it. Don't listen to it. Don't adhere to it. Paul said, "I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture." Verse number 4 of 1 Corinthians 15, he says, "And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures." That's the gospel. The death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when one puts their faith in that, then there is salvation birthed and brought into the heart of the individual. So again, I ask, what is the gospel? Let me give you a quick summary. A quick summary. The gospel, it's been said that the gospel is the good news that King Jesus died and paid the full penalty of sin, rose from the dead, and saves all who repent of sin and trust Him. The good news is that King Jesus died, that He died for the penalty of sin. He who knew no sin, the Bible says, became sin that he may take our place. We should have been the one crucified. Brother John, you and I should have been on either side of the cross. Amen. You and I, friend, I mean, as good as we look sometimes, we're rotten as hell. I mean, it really it means that. I'm talking about from the oldest to the youngest. We should have died, but He died for us. The gospel is a clear contrast. Do you realize this? That every religion in the world can be located under one of two words, do and done. And under the do, you've got all kinds of different religions that say you need to do this and do that and do the other and do and do and do and do. But thank God, Christianity is done. Amen. Jesus Christ said, "It is finished." Amen. Amen. That allows every one of us to get in. I'm so glad that I didn't have to do, because I would have just done bad. I mean, I'd be lost. But every religion can be located under one of two words, do's or done's. And Christianity is a done religion. It is a done. We are saved by what Christ has done for us. When we could not do anything for ourselves, He done it. Isaiah 53:10, our children in school just and be amazed how many, some of these younger ones, some of the really young ones, they quote about seven of those verses in Isaiah 53. But to hear them, that great, who hath believed our report? I mean, and go on. But Isaiah 53:10 says, yet it pleased the Lord God in heaven, to bruise Him, Jesus Christ, the sinless Son of God. It pleased the Lord to bruise Him. He hath put Him to grief. Then thou shalt make His soul, when thou shalt make His soul an offering for sin. It pleased the Lord to bruise Him. The gospel is good news that God killed His Son so He wouldn't have to kill us. God killed His Son, allowed His Son to die so that He would not have to kill you and I. The gospel is the good news that the people who has Jesus Christ plus nothing actually have everything. And the person who has everything minus Jesus actually has nothing. The Bible says, Jesus said over in Mark chapter 8, verse number 36, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? I don't know about you, but I have sat at the bedside of a dying man. He must have been in his 80s. Never had trusted Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. And yet, he would tell you about this house and that house and the other house and this business and the other business that he had and what he was doing and all of this. He had all that the world thought was important. But yet he did not have Jesus Christ, and in reality he had absolutely nothing. And when it came time to die, to hear this man who had it all cry out, and he cried out in agony because he would not accept Jesus Christ and went out into this world unprepared to meet God. Yet I've also sat by the bedside of a lowly saint of God that probably didn't have two nickels to rub together, but they had Jesus Christ, and they went on into glory as if they had everything. They might not have had nothing in this world. What shall it profit a man, Jesus said, if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? That's the gospel. That's the theme, the nature of the gospel. That lost sinners might be saved. Now let's go back and talk about the Apostle Paul. Probably one of the greatest missionaries. One of the greatest evangelists. You talk about a pioneer missionary. When I went back in, I don't know when it was, when you go to the mission field the first time, we went over to Metlakatla and was there for 4 years. And we went back. They gave us the title of veteran missionaries. Oh, we'll listen to the veteran. He knows what he's doing. Right. You talk about winging it. That's all I was doing is winging it. I didn't know what to do. And then God called us and laid it on our heart to come to Prince of Wales. And to start Somebody said you started from scratch. We started before the itch. We weren't even scratching it. But I remember the years. I've read the books on how to canvass the area. Well, you only canvass Kluwak one or two times, and then you get shot. You know? You knock on the door and you see people running out the back. You think, well, you know, something wrong? So I canvassed the area. I spent so much time in, back then it was, what was the first grocery store you worked for? A&P? Yeah, Laska and Proud, Ben Williams store. Yeah, you remember me. Passing out flyers, sticking them on. People don't appreciate them under their windows. You know? I mean, just so many. That's all I'd been taught. Then we got us a building. And we started preaching. And no one was coming. But the Word of God said that if we'll be faithful and preach, He said, it will not return void. One day, after 9 months of preaching, only to one person. She slept most of the time. But I preached for 9 months to this woman sitting up here, and she wouldn't get right. But one Sunday, 14 people came to the house of God. And I never had a Sunday after that that somebody wasn't there to hear. We saw people get saved. Brother John's been here the longest. Well, we saw people come in and get born again. Get born again by the power of God. Believing the simple gospel message that Christ died, was buried, and rose again. That's what missions is all about. And we, as a church, as a local New Testament body of believers, we are to be consumed. We need people to be consumed with getting the gospel to those who have never heard the name of Jesus. I want to take the remainder of my time this morning. I want us to look and dissect a few verses right here. How many times have we heard, and you may have heard them, well-meaning people say things like, the light shines furthest that shines the brightest at home. Or they may say, you know, missions begins with our Jerusalem and then moves to the ends of the earth. I had one person one time, again, Fred, you don't use these much. Look here, that racer don't even race. That must really be inspired. My goodness. All right, I'll do it right here. They spell Jerusalem like this. Whoops. Yep. I know what they're well-meaning. I know what they're meaning. And if we didn't have churches here to help and send, you know that 90% of the world missionaries come out of America. I know what they say when they say things like the light that shines the furthest shines brightest at home. And things like missions begins with our Jerusalem. And then moves to the ends of the earth. So, some of my own family said things like this to me. Well, Dick, you know me by Richard, but my nickname was Dickie when I was a boy. We dropped the IE. They say, Dick, don't you know that people are just as lost in North Carolina and South Carolina and Tennessee as they are in Alaska? Why do you want to go 3,000 miles away? I never said I wanted to. But when God calls, you're not happy doing anything else but following the leadership of the Lord. My own family said that. And such statements, though well-intended, are fundamentally wrong. Such people who say such do not truly understand the Great Commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Basically, that's what I've been for the last 25 years, is creature reachers. And some of them are real creepy. But God said to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Acts chapter 1, verse number 8, the Bible says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea, and all of Judea, and in Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth." My brother said, God called you to the uttermost. Well, we're to be witnesses wherever we are. Wherever we are is our Jerusalem. This right here, Craig, Alaska, is our Jerusalem. Judea would be Prince of Wales. Samaria would be the rest of the state of Alaska. And then the uttermost parts. We're to preach the gospel here. We're to preach the gospel there. We're to preach the gospel over there. And then we're to preach the gospel to the world. And that's the only way it can be done, is through missionaries. Missionaries. I can't leave today and go to Indonesia and then hop on a plane and go to China and then hop on a plane. But when the lights are out here, when these lights are out and the doors are locked, the ministry of New Hope Baptist Church is around the world. We are to go out and to preach the gospel. Look at verse number 20. Verse number 20, Paul says, he tells us his ambition, what his ambition was. He says in verse number 20, he says, "Yea, so have I strived." Notice that. "I have strived to preach the gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection. I have strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation." What a statement. He said, "I've got to go where they've never heard. Where the name of Christ." Could you imagine? Could you imagine going to a place that had never heard a gospel message at all? Never knew that there was a Jehovah God who loved this world and sent His Son to die on the cross? Huh? Have you ever thought about it? Where do you start? How do you start? But God has called. Paul was that type of preacher. He went into areas where they never had heard the name of Jesus. And he said, "Yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation." And in doing so, Isaiah 52, verse number 15, would be fulfilled. Look at verse 21. He says, "But as it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand." That's a quote from Isaiah 52 and verse number 51. What does Romans chapter 10? Flip over there. Romans chapter 10, verse number 14 say. Well, we always quote verse number 13. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Verse number 14 says, "How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not heard or not believed? And how shall they believe in Him in whom, of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. How are they going to hear? How are they going to believe in whom they have not heard? How are they going to hear without a preacher? And how are they going to preach except they be sent? That's the whole premise about the missions and spreading the gospel. In verse number 22, back in Romans chapter 15, Paul says, this is why, remember we talked about when we began our study in the book of Romans, how in chapter 1 he was explaining to the church there in Rome why he had not paid them a visit. Why he had not been able to get by there, and he wants to, and he's planning on it, and he's looking forward to it, and he desires to. Look at verse number 22. He says, this is the reason I've not been able to come by. He says, verse 22, he says, for which cause also I have been much hindered from coming to you. Frankly, I've just been busy. Put it in everyday life. Frankly, I just haven't had time. Every time I go into the new city limit, there's people there that haven't never heard. And I start preaching, and before long, we're getting people saved, a church has been planted, and then I go, and there's another area. He said, I have been hindered. He said, there, for which cause? Because of the preaching of the gospel. I've been striving to preach the gospel where Christ's name is not heard. And I just keep on running into places where they've never heard. He says there in verse 22, for which cause also have I been much hindered from coming unto you. Let me close with verse 23 and 24. I want to give you something here. I stayed up extra 2 hours last night. Well, no, I stayed up longer. I usually have my Sunday morning sermon pretty well prepared by Friday evening. But I told my wife, I said, I want to convey it truthfully and honestly and look at it. And there's some things I've seen here that I've never seen. I've been preaching since 1982. I've been in church, I told you, 9 months before I was ever born. I've heard multiple messages, tons of messages, read, multiple. Never had seen this. This is what I love about the Word of God. It's such an artesian well. You can't exhaust it at all. Verse number 23. Verse number 23 says, but now, having no more place, why? He said, no more place in these parts. In other words, every place is covered, everywhere, that area from, I didn't bring my map out, from Jerusalem all the way up to present day Albania, that area. Let me try to give you just an idea. Here is Jerusalem. All this area up through here, up to Albania, up in that area, Yugoslavia, Romania, up in that, all that area. And remember, Paul was going to go to Asia. And yet, the Holy Spirit moved on him and said he received that Macedonia call. And he went into Macedonia instead. But he said, all of that area. I want you to think about this. Look at verse number 23. But now having no more place in these parts, and having a great desire these many years to come unto you. I've been preaching. I've not been able to come. I'd have a desire all these many years. He says, verse number 20. Now, I want you to think about this. Somebody may ask, Paul, are you saying that everyone who needs to hear the gospel in these areas has heard? Because he says in verse 23, having no more place in these parts. I believe Paul's response would be something like, I'm not saying that. Paul, are you saying that all the churches that need to be planted in these areas have been planted? And I believe the Apostle Paul would say again, I'm not talking about that either. I can almost hear the Apostle Paul say something like, what I'm saying is that there is now a gospel witness here. A gospel witness, but there is not a gospel witness everywhere. But we must be consumed. Paul, remember, Paul is consumed. And Paul is trying to convey to another church. And he's talking to another church whose faith has been heard around the world, by the way. They're doing something. And he's trying to convey to them that they must be consumed with a passion to get the gospel elsewhere. It's almost like in verse 24, he says, there's this place called Spain I heard about. Look at verse 24. But now, or whensoever I take my journey into Spain. Spain. You know where that's at? Oh, here's Jerusalem. He's been in all this area. That's way over here, past France into Spain. Huh. It's almost like I've went everywhere possible. There is no other place. I've been striving to preach the gospel. And I want to come to you. But I heard about this place called Spain. Look at verse 24. Whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you. He has to go through Rome, go by Rome. I will come to you, for I trust to see you in my journey. And to be brought on my way hitherward by you, if first I be somewhat filled with your company. Every time Paul thought that every place has been preached, there's a gospel witness here, a gospel witness. Oh, there's one over here. You see how consumed he is? Oh, I'll stop by on my way. Maybe you can help me get to Spain, is what he's saying. Next week, we're going to be looking at how we can help these missionaries. And I think we see it in verse number 24. He was asking for help. He was asking for help. I'm going to Spain. I've preached everywhere. There is no other places to preach. There's a gospel witness here. But I've heard of a place. I was thought about something else this morning. I talked to my wife about it. Do you think the Apostle Paul was in the will of God? If he wasn't in the will of God, there ain't no hope for us. Think about it. His plans didn't quite work out. You ever had any plans? Dreams that didn't quite. He never made it to Spain. He was planning on it. He had good intentions. Every once in a while we think, you know, I think I need to do this. But the Lord has a way of changing those plans. But he always ends up getting his children where he needs them. And Paul didn't make it to Spain. He did make it to Rome. He didn't go the way he wanted to go, the way he desired to go. But he did go to Rome. Listen to me, child of God. Sometimes we come up and we think, well, I need to do this, and this is what I need to. And then things don't work together, and you say, and people, I've had people to beat people up, said, well, you was just out of the will of God. Everything didn't work out the way Paul was planning. That didn't mean Paul was out of the will of God. God's sovereign. And God can move His children when and how He will. Here's the thing. Paul had a desire, a passion. He was consumed with getting the gospel to unreached areas. I told you about that group, and I tried to find it. If I do a more in-depth search, I'll find that story. of those Brazilian natives that came out of the jungle and met some men. They said they never had heard of them before. I said last week ago there's 7,100, this is estimated, this is the best they know, of people groups, individuals, with their own culture, with their own language, with their own identity, who have never heard the gospel. How many times have you heard the gospel? Think about it. You know what? We only deserve one time. I mean, we only have to hear the gospel one time. It's kind of unfair that so many hear it so often and some have never heard it once. Say, well, what are you trying to say, preacher? I'm trying to give us and encourage us in the days ahead. Next week, we'll be passing out our faith missions pledge cards for the year. You know what blessed my heart? My son, when he left for basic training, he said, Mom's doing his finances for him while he's away. But he said, Mom, don't forget my faith promise. Make sure you take my faith promise. Huh? Allison did too? We got a good bunch of kids. To be such rotten parents. God's great. But they said, we don't want you to forget our missionaries. That's why we focus on this once a year. And I don't beat you up, but it comes in every week. And I want to say to New Hope Baptist Church, I believe God's blessing is upon this church because we're striving our best to take the gospel around the world. Oh, we got room for more prayer cards and more, don't we? Oh, yeah. Because there's places out there that need to hear. We'll be talking about more of that, how we can be a part. How we can be a part. When our lights are off here, we're at home in our beds, the ministry of New Hope Baptist Church is still going on. Whether it's in Israel with Project Nehemiah, or in the prison bar, behind the prison bars, with Brother Charles Long, all these others, India, Africa, up in the Arctic, bless Brother Warren's heart. I mean, you have to be of God to live up there all year long, up above the Arctic. We got it so easy down here. All of these missionaries. The Millers down in Peru. Oh my goodness, Huckabee in Africa. The Lesters. Australia, back to British Columbia, now in Australia. I wonder about him sometimes. He can't get settled. But they're preaching the gospel to those that would not have an opportunity.